Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Great day today, right? A lot of God's. How many of you know God's doing some working? He's doing some things around us. I mean, you know, they'll just walk in off the street, come in, say, I need to get saved. Right, Sidarian? They'll just come in, I need to get saved, want to get saved. Next thing you know, they're being baptized. Next thing you know, he said he wants to come here so he can learn more about Jesus. That's the heart of God. It really is. Well, you're going to hear more about what Jesus has done. You're going to hear more about what Jesus is doing in another couple. We have our missionaries from Mexico, and they're here. Ed is going to be giving us a message concerning, I think it's the heart of the warrior. If I'm not correct, the heart of the warrior. So let's honor them. We sent them out in 2000. Is that correct? 2000, so it's almost 17 years ago, and there were 10 of them. Right? 10 of them. The whole family went. And that's a strong move of God. That's a strong call on you, right? When you just pack up and take all your kids with you. And we have supported them over these years, and they have been a blessing to Mexico. They've been a blessing to this house and blessing to the kingdom of God. So would you welcome with me, give them a warm home welcome, Ed and Debbie Somerville.
Love you, brother. Somebody said, Ed, what are you doing up here? I thought you were supposed to be down in Mexico. Well, where Jeff and Stephanie are studying, there are 28 other missionary candidates that are getting ready to go out to all parts of the world. And they were looking for a few old grizzled veterans to come share a few war stories and maybe a little wisdom. So I was invited to come, and we've been up there for 3 weeks now. Got one more week to go before we head back to Mexico. And it's been a real blessing to get to know them. The students that we're working with are an inspiration to me. And it's been a great time of being able to sow into their lives. And just think, there's 30 people that are going out all around the world. And if I can bless them and help them in any way, that's really good. I want to thank you guys for being faithful and for loving us for 17 years. It feels wonderful to be back home with my family here. But I want to tell you something. Because of your faithfulness and because of what the Lord's been doing in Mexico, there's a lot bigger family. And some of those guys like to eat chilies and tortillas. And you have brothers and sisters in Mexico that one day in heaven, you're going to have the pleasure of getting to know them. And in the time that we've been there, I would say we've seen enough people come to the Lord that would fill this house three times over. Three times over. And more on the way. More on the way. So praise God for that. I also wanted to really thank you guys for the way that you pray. Some of you know that I've been struggling with a condition called Meniere's disease that affects the inner ears. That would be all right, except for it was getting to the point where every 2 or 3 weeks, I would just be flopped over in the bed with terrible vertigo and dizzy and throwing up for about 6 or 8 hours. That was not fun. And you begin to pray for me, and I'm just here to say that today marks the 101st day that I have not had an attack of vertigo. Praise the Lord for that. Something very close to my heart, and many of you know, that we're praying for our daughter Mary and for Sean and for their little baby Mariah. We thank you for your prayers for her and just trusting God for a miracle there as well. So thank you for that. All right. Well, I want to talk to you about the heart of a warrior. The heart of a warrior. And to do that, I'm going to need to get this little thing out of my pocket so that I can advance the slides. Let's see if I can get this to really work. Come on. It's supposed to turn green or something. Isn't that right, Terry? Okay. There we go. Now let's see if this works. All right. Now, the heart of a warrior. The whole idea of war is a hateful idea and a frightening idea for a lot of people. And yet, I have news for you. There is a war going on. It is not a war of liberals against conservatives. It is not a war of the poor against the rich. It's not a war of black against white. It's not a war of Democrats against Republicans. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual war, and it's a clash of two kingdoms, and it is a war for the eternal souls of men. Now, the Bible is full of imagery of war. In the Old Testament, we read about the war between Lucifer and God and the rebellion there before the world was created. We read about wars against oppressors. We read about wars where people were breaking free of slavery. We read of wars that were fought in order to claim a promised land. In the New Testament, we read about war. God's kingdom at war with Satan. A strong man that had to be bound. Death that had to be defeated. And gates of hell that one day will crumble. Jesus himself, though he was a man of peace, was also the king of a heavenly kingdom at war with the kingdom of darkness. Jesus dictated the terms of the conflict during his temptation in the wilderness. He won decisive battles when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when he cast out demons. And Jesus achieved the ultimate victory when he died on the cross and he rose again. But in our day, many Christians are tragically unaware of this war. I want you to take a look at these two pictures right here. And I want you to tell me which one of these guys is more dangerous. That guy or that guy? Because let me tell you something. You can memorize the whole Bible. You can know all about the systematic theology. You can keep that pew warm every Sunday. But if you're not engaged in the battle, that guy right there is a little more dangerous than you would be. All right? Good thing is that in this congregation, I know that there are a lot of warriors who are a real threat to Satan and his kingdom. Over 1,000 years ago, a Chinese general named Sun Tzu said this. He said, "If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles." That's wisdom. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. Over 2,000 years ago, our general, Jesus, said this. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Later on, Peter said, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." There's a statistic I want to share with you, and that is that every minute, every 60 seconds, 100 people go on to their eternal destiny, whether that's heaven or hell. 100 people every 60 seconds. I'd like to take just a minute to do a demonstration with you about what the odds are of those 600 people going on to eternity every 60 seconds. What the odds are of them going to heaven, or the odds are of them going to hell. And for this, I'm going to need 10 brave volunteers. Can I have 10 people line up here with me? Just come on up. I'll count them out. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Need 6. Need only 4 more. 7, 8. Good. Here's 9, and there's number 10. Tell me your name again.
Sedarian.
Okay, Sedarian, today's your lucky day. You see these guys here? This recommends the population of the world. And right now, the statistics are, in the world, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, 11%. That's about 1 out of 10. So, Darian, that gets to be you today, brother. Praise the Lord. You represent the one-tenth of the world that are born-again believers that are on their way to heaven. Okay? Can you tell me your name?
Anthony.
Can you tell me your name?
Jeannie.
And Jeannie. Anthony and Jeannie represent the 20% who are Sedarian's neighbors, people that he meets at work, people who are not believers but may have a Bible. They may be Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. They may be kind of secular people. But they live close enough to him so that Sedarian could share the gospel with them because they speak English. You speak any other languages? Okay. They speak his language, and they would be close enough that he could witness to them and talk to them about Jesus. But they're not on their way to heaven right now. Coming on across, we're going to take a look at these next three folks. Can you tell me your name?
Rebecca.
Jason, I know. And your name?
Keith.
And Keith. Rebecca, Jason, and Keith represent 30% of the world that live in other countries where they do have access to a Bible, where if they wanted to know something about Jesus, they could do that if they put their mind to it and wanted to study about that. These last four people, your name?
Jason.
Brianna?
William.
Jeff. And Jeff. I got bad news for you guys. Because nearly 40% of the world, actually a little bit more, live in parts of the world where there is no Bible, where you have never met a Christian believer in your life, where the only thing you know about Christianity may be from slightly pornographic movies that come out of the United States, where you are in a lot of trouble because no one has ever gotten to you with the gospel. Okay? That's the state of our world today. 1 out of 10 is born again. The next two live close enough and speak the same language. The next three live a little farther away and don't speak the language but could get a Bible. And these last four don't speak the language, don't have a Bible, never met a Christian. That is shocking news. It is shocking news. Okay, now, Sedarian, we're going to come back to you, and we're going to take up a little offering here to reach the unreached. And I had to go down to the gas station to get 10 nice $1 bills. This is a loan. I expect you to give me back these 10 $1 bills. But I want to get you to think about something here. We're going to pretend we took up an offering, got $10, and you're thinking about all these folks down here who still need to reach the point where you came to today to get saved and become a part of God's family. So I'm going to hand you these $10, and I want you to think for a minute, and you guys can help them out if you want to. How are you going to invest this money in the kingdom of God? How are you going to spend this money in reaching that many people who need to come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord? What are you going to do with it? This money is going into buying Bibles. This money is into going into learning other languages. This money is going into sending out missionaries. How are you going to spend that? You're going to spend that on these two guys that are live in the same area with your same language. You're going to spend it on the next three over there who don't have Bibles. Or are you going to spend it on those four down there? Are you going to spend it on all of them? How do you want to spend it? Any help? What would you guys recommend? What do you think you want to do? It's kind of like a game show, you know? Last four? Okay. All right, you're getting some help here from the audience. What is that? You know, you can reach out or whatever to the audience. They sound like they want you to give that money to these last four people down here who've never heard of Jesus. Is that all right? Wait a minute. Oh, I love that. Train these next four or five and send them out that way. Beautiful. Sarah, you can give me that money back. But hey, I want you to know that is an awkward question. It's a hard question, but it's a question that the Christian church needs to really think about because of the next slide that I have up there. Why don't you guys have a seat? Let's give a hand for these volunteers here. Appreciate it. Because of this next slide, if I'm not mistaken, which shows two families. Do you see that top family? They're sitting in pews. Those are pews. It's been a long time since maybe some of you saw a pew, but that's what you sit on in churches. They weren't very comfortable. And the other family, they're not sitting in pews. But here's the question. And it's a trick question, I'll just admit right up front. Which one of these families do you think God loves more? Thank you. Of course, God loves those two families just the same. And these people that were standing up here, who does God love more? He loves all of them. He loves all of them. Now, it's sad to say this. This is a statistic. Out of every dollar that's collected in Christian churches here in America, how much of that money gets to these last four people down here? It's sad and it's shocking. Two pennies actually get to the unreached people groups around the world that have never heard. People spend more money on dog food than they do in reaching a 40% of the world who hasn't heard about Jesus. And that's a little troublesome for me because I can't help but think that one day we're going to be standing before the judge on the final day of judgment, and he's going to look at us and says, you know, my heart was for the whole world. The whole world. And I left you on a mission to share that love with the whole world. What was your strategy? What was your plan? What did you do to help those people know that I loved them and that I sent my son to die for their sins on the cross? And it's going to be a little awkward if we don't have an answer. I appreciate this church because for 17 years, you've been faithfully supporting the work that we've been doing among people that had no clue. In Mexico right now, there are 24 tribal groups that don't have one believer in them. My son Scott and his wife Isabel are getting trained up to go and share the gospel to a totally unreached group just down here, our neighbors in Mexico. God's heart is for all the lost. Jesus came to the earth on a mission of love. He came to seek and save the lost. He left that mission to us, his followers. If he lives in us and his spirit dwells in us, then shouldn't we be sharing God's heartbeat for the lost around the world? Okay. Well, why is it so hard? Why isn't this happening? Why hasn't the gospel gotten to these people? Well, I'd just like to say that partly because there is an enemy who hates the world and who's opposed to the gospel. And he is sneaky and he fights dirty. One of the things he does is he's a deceiver. And so a lot of Christians sitting in a lot of churches right now, today, are not even really convinced that the devil even exists. They have no idea that they are in a battle. Another thing that the devil does is he comes along and he tempts us And he gets us to where all we're thinking about is ourselves, just our sinful selfishness, looking at what we need, looking at what we're lacking, and we kind of can ignore the needs of others. Another strategy of the devil is to distract us. And he gets us to look at in every other direction except to Jesus. And so our fears that we struggle with, our problems that we have, stress that we're going through, anxiety, insecurity, things at work, issues in the family, politics lately, pleasure, idolatry. Sometimes the old devil gets us so distracted that we're looking anywhere but to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's take a moment to fix our eyes on Jesus. Think about Jesus, who is willing to sacrifice everything in this war. He left the glory of heaven to come here to this battlefield. He renounced the comforts of life. He gave up life itself. Jesus was engaged in a battle, but it was not a war of hate. It was a war of love. And Jesus fought that war passionately. Passionately. You know, the word passion, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's a word that we like to think about around Valentine's Day, but it's not talking about little stuffed animals and flowers and chocolate. The word passion means suffering. A few years ago, they had a movie called The Passion of the Christ. It was a very graphic movie that talked about the suffering of Jesus. But what were we seeing in that suffering? We were seeing the depths of love that Jesus has for you and me. Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us to love passionately. He calls us to be warriors in that battle for souls. The gentleman that founded our mission over 100 years ago, a radical man of God named C.T. Studd, is famous for a quote. He said, "If Jesus Christ be God and he gave his life for me, then there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him." Think about that. If Jesus Christ be God and he gave his life for me, there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Now, if I am prepared to follow Jesus in love at any cost, what does the Bible say are my marching orders? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Those are famous last words from the Gospel of Matthew. What do we see in Mark? "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Look at the famous last words from Luke. "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And then in John we read, "Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus came on a mission. If we're his followers, we're following him in that same mission to a world that is lost in sin and is on its way to hell. If I'm following Jesus, which way do I go? What is my strategy? How do I engage? Do you remember these words from Acts? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I just love that this is a church that believes in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. But what is that power given to us for? It's God's strategy. It's not just to get another goosebump. It's to be His witnesses to a world that He loves passionately. And so, I'd like to leave you with three challenges. One, Pastor John was here last Sunday and he looked across at you and he said, get busy. Get busy. This slide right here says, be moved. Be moved in your spirit when you think about these people standing here. Let God's heart beat in you for the lost that are out there with no hope of ever hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ unless people here take the responsibility and take up the challenge. Be moved. Let the Holy Spirit work in you to say, I'm going to do more than just sit and listen to a sermon this Sunday morning. I am going to do something about this. I had no idea. I didn't realize. But God is putting this into my heart to get involved and to be moved. Sign up for this battle. Enlist in this army. God has great things for His people to do. Number two, get educated. When soldiers sign up, my daughter, Becky, is in the Air Force. She signed on the dotted line. What do you think the next thing she did was? They sent her off to boot camp where they educated her. All right. You guys got one of these? All right. Can you find the little box that has the colors of the Mexican flag? I was so delighted to see. Green, white, and red. And in that box up here on this corner are about 7 websites or email addresses. I want you to take this thing home, and I want you to take a little time during this week to look up some of these websites. Right here on the screen are 3 of the most thorough, complete, very broad websites from ministries, some of the 3 top ministries in the country right now that are involved in missions. And if you don't know the first thing about missions, you can go to Joshua Project, you can go to Operation World, or you can go to Perspectives. I would challenge you to just go explore. A lot of people are online a lot of times, you know, on Facebook, looking at stupid videos. Just take a little time, take a tithe of your stupid Facebook videos this week and go look up some information, learn something about the desperate need that there is around the world. Those are 3 really good websites that you can visit. Here's another way you can get educated. You can learn more about what we're doing in Mexico. How have we seen more than 1,000 people get saved in the last couple years? What kind of ministries are we involved in? What is the strategy that we're using there? What is our need right now? Maybe you could do something like come down and help volunteer. Maybe you could be praying with us that we'd win this crazy legal battle that we're in. Right here, if you go to elmontemexico.com, there is a button that you can click in English. Don't be surprised. A lot of it's in Spanish because the people in Mexico can't read English, and they're the ones that want to find out what's going on. If you have a pen or pencil right now, will you jot down something somewhere on this? Because there is a place in that English or a place in projects where you need to put in a password. It's password protected. And you need to just type in a little password. I'm going to give you the password. Can you write this down? It's little letters, and it's all together, and it's El Monte Update. El Monte Update. Just jot that down someplace, and then when you type that in, you can find out what we're praying for, what we need in the way of new facilities, and you can find out how we're doing in our legal case. El Monte Update. The other place is on Facebook. And this one I really want to plug because I tried to bring a video to show you today. But when we projected it up here on the screen, it's in Spanish but has English subtitles. And so I'm not sure how many people speak Spanish, but I imagine the majority of us would be sitting here a little confused because the words are too small to read. So go home, go to the El Monte Mexico Facebook page, and watch this cool 4-minute video taken with the drone that was donated, aerial shots of one of the most beautiful places on God's green earth, El Monte, the mountain, Mexico, and their testimonies of people who went to summer camp this summer. And it's just telling all the cool things that God did in their life. I want you to watch that video. So you go to El Monte, Mexico. You click on videos, and it's about the second one down that says summer camp testimonies. Will you do that? And then another way that you can get educated is that you can email me. Look right there, tenamigos@gmail.com. That's actually Debbie. She will answer you. But I would just love to get some practical questions or some encouragement or whatever. You can talk right to me all the way down in Mexico, just like this. So fast, so easy. And on Facebook, if you want to come see us, Debbie's on Facebook. Just type in Debbie Somerville, and we could be Facebook friends. Even, you know, 2,000-3,000 miles away. And you can hear some of our more urgent prayer requests and things. So I want you to get educated. And then finally, you got moved, you got educated, it's time to get moving. It's time to get moving. And I would just love to think that there are going to be things that happen from this church where when we get to that day and the Lord looks at us and says, "What happened with my mission that I left for you?" that we're going to be able to smile and say, "We were part of it. We were in the battle. We were following you." And it's going to be fun to be able to say that with a whole slew of brothers and sisters that talk different languages and look different from us, but are there around God's throne because of our faithfulness. Praise God. I want to finish in a kind of a fun way. Before I ever headed down to Mexico to work in a camping ministry, Brother O.A. Fish was training me up here at South Mountain Christian Camp, where I was a summer director for 9 years. And God showed me the amazing things that he could do when we just give our life over to him. And in that time I had the privilege to baptize, not in the new swimming pool they have, down in the old scummy lake, over 1,000 young people. So I knew God could do awesome things. So while I was there at the camp, every night I'd be standing up in front of these kids, and you know, we'd be talking about the Bible and everything, and he'd be telling about sin, and they go, "Yeah, I've been there, done that. You know, I know all about sin." But when we begin to talk to him about God's love, wow, it was just amazing how they just lean into it and just soak it in, just receive the love of God. And so many of them responded. Well, we had a song that we sang while we were there all 9 summers, I think. And it's called "Blessed Be My Rock, You Train My Hands for War." A war of love. A war against the forces of darkness. A war for the hearts and the souls of a world that's going to hell. So, we're going to finish up. I just wonder if anybody here was a camper out at South Mountain Christian Camp during those 9 years when I was the director back in those days. I know Jason was. Were you out there too? Can you come help us out? We're gonna have a little fun here. Anybody else that was a camper? Let me get the worship team to come up. They're going to help us out too. Mary was a camper. That is right. Way to go, Mary. Anybody else there that was a camper? Because there is a part in this song that is important. And It's not really the words or the music. It's this one part when we get to, we sing, "Blessed be my rock." And then we go, "Huh!" All right. So this is my special ex-camper choir. And they are going to lead you in the "Huh!" part, because I want to see you passionate. I want to see you moved, educated, and moving, okay? So we're going to have everybody stand up. And this is a battle cry for people who have the heart of a warrior, who want to see that kingdom of darkness going down and the kingdom of light shining brightly. How we doing, team? All right. You want to throw that first verse up there? Okay. No, I'm good. I'll just look right there. All right, here we go. This is a blast from the past. This is 18, 20, 25 years ago. And we're going to see if we can blow the dust out of those pipes and make the rafters rattle. Okay, you ready? Here we go.
We support this family and we have for these 17 years, and how we've done that is when you people give your tithes and offerings to the church, undesignated money, when you give your tithes and offerings to the church, this house teaches about tithing, giving 10%, honoring the Lord with 10%, What we do with all that money that comes in general, we take 10% of that. As a matter of fact, we take 13.5%. Thank you, Terry Hageman. Thank you, Terry. We were doing right. We were tithing to the 10% off of that general money, and we got a little tight, and I met with the elders and said, look, we're facing some difficulties, and when the economy was down, I said, we need to trim our expense budget and da-da-da-da-da. And Terry Hageman said, I think I know what God wants us to do. And he's one of our elders. We have an elder meeting. I said, okay, what does God want us to do? I think he wants to we just need to up our giving. And I looked at him and I said, do you understand why we're meeting? We're meeting because we don't have enough money. I said, how much you want to get? Make it 13 and a half. And we did. We came out of that meeting upping our giving instead of cutting, you know. So, and then look at us now. I mean, God has taken care of it. And I admire that man's faith. It just inspires me to just do. But anyway, let me get back to this other story. We take 13.5% out of our general giving, and we start giving that to missions. So this church as a whole, we take what you give us, and we take 13.5% out of that to give it to other ministries. And that this is one of them. But we're going to take up an offering for them today, and this is going to go straight to this lovely couple. For these 17 years, they have been very faithful to the Lord in the call. And I need some, Pastor Charlie, where are you? Or somebody, Susan, I need some kind of music I need some wallet opening music. I need some billfold purse opening music. And just listen to the Lord's heart. And he'll tell you what you need to give. Everything that you give will go to them today. And we just really want to bless them. Don't you want to bless them? Don't you want to bless them? I do too. Debbie, do you have something you want to say? Come on up, sweetheart. I know you probably got something to say. As we ushers, come on down and go ahead. Lord, we just ask you to bless this offering. Lord, multiply it in Jesus' name. Ed, you can come on up.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yes, I do want to say thank you to each and every one of you. And for all of those years of the support, yes, and for the love and for the prayers. Those are pure gold. And when we left 17 years ago, we had little kids who woke up, you know, at the crack of dawn. And so we came to the early service. And so there are some of you that came to the second service that we didn't know very well. And then there's all kinds of brand new of you that have come to the church after we left that we haven't really met or gotten to know yet. So we love coming back and visiting and getting to know you all. So do call or write us with the addresses. I have a few prayer cards and things over here. If you're interested and you want to talk to us afterwards, we'd be so glad to. We just love getting to know you, and just want to say we love you all too. We love Father's Vineyard, and thank you, Pastor.
No, we love you too. We really do. One of my memorable experiences of going to see them, I have several. You take a little country southern boy that speaks no Spanish other than enchiladas and burritos and all that kind of stuff and tacos. I can say, yeah, but I spoke that pretty decent. Anyway, we're having breakfast with this beautiful couple and their family, and early breakfast. And they have a little chicken that just wanders in the house as we're eating and visits me
in a special way
and does some business right beside me. Now I'm looking and I'm wondering, well, what do I do? But Debbie got up and said, I mean, you know, this is a graceful lady. Puts her hands together and says, oh, he's left us a little gift. I said, they need to get out more. But beautiful people. Our experience being there was just very, we were some of the pioneers. We surveyed and drew stakes and or put stakes and string and walking by faith, and we really did. But it was a wonderful time. But anyway, we just want to just bless them and just pray over them as they go. And did you enjoy today? Wasn't it a beautiful, wasn't it a beautiful Lord's Day? Just great. Just great. Just great. So let's stand to our feet and we'll go home. But I know that I'm stirred in my heart, and I hope y'all are. So let's just bless them. Lord, thank you so much. You're a good God. Lord, we can look back over these 17 years, and Lord, just to hear that there's been 1,000 or more that's been introduced to you and baptized in your name, just like it was today. Lord, we pray that that number would increase, multiply, and Lord, that the fulfillment of the vision would be rapidly around the corner. Lord, this legal thing that they're constantly faced with, Lord, we ask you for favor, move on their behalf, move on behalf of your kingdom. Let your kingdom, let your people do the work of God without hindrance from any legal opposition. Lord, we know we have opposition, and that just makes us stronger in believing you. But God, we're asking you to end this one. End this legal. Lord, I pray that you'll dot the I's and cross the T's and make your exclamation point that you're the one in charge. We love you, and we ask your blessings to be upon them, their children and their grandchildren, including Mariah. Give her a brand new body as she is in the womb of her mother. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. They're here. Come down and greet them and make an appointment with them. Don't have about a week left here, right? So you'll be glad to meet with some of the people. All right, come on down. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.